On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another Tall Can Sports. Rob over there.
Hey, hey.
I'm over here. Off my no beer kick. Way off my no beer kick.
No, this is
long behind.
This is the second TCS off the beer.
Yeah? Or back on the beer?
Back on the beer.
Yeah.
Off the no beer.
Been like, probably two and a half weeks since we've run down one of these. We had Maddie on last week to talk a little about the weird Valentine's Day love triangle thing going on between the Bruins and the Habs. Talked a little bit about the Serge Ibaka deal with the Raptors. But for you and I to be back in talking about
things stuff, that matter, things that people care about.
I have to value our contributors. I see you clearly do not, but that's all right. Anyway, you can check that out. It's in the archives.
This has got nothing to do with valuing. Yes. Wee yes. Matty Lang brings a perspective.
Oh, it's just a wee Matty Lang.
Just a wee speck of a man.
Shit. All right. Let's move along off that pretty quick. We had a couple of things we wanted to get to here, just because it has been a while. Do you want to start with Trouba?
I do, right? And so we're talking about the
Sunday game versus the Senators.
Right, Trouba steps up and hits Stone. And to me, I know anybody out there is rolling their eyes thinking this is a Senators tirade, right, or a Sens fan. No, really, to me, Trouba steps up. The amount of time that Stone has released the puck, he's passed and he's sort of looking at it, and he gets hit.
Yeah.
And so to me, all legit. Right? And so Trouba's been suspended 2 games. I don't think it deserved any more than that. Trouba's not a it's his first. He's never been fined, never been suspended. Right? So he is, to me, that's the punishment fits the crime.
Well, you raised an interesting point with me this morning when we were kicking it around that suspension actually takes him out of the lineup as Winnipeg plays a division rival.
Right.
Which is kind of how these things go. It's not unique to this, but it is kind of fucked
up. The Senators in no way benefit from this.
Right. The Leafs might.
Right. Now, Trouba suspended. Like, the time frame in between is, you know, I think they're saying it's 0.5 or 0.6 of a second from release to.
Yeah.
Because it's moving that fast, right? The game is. It's a fast-paced game.
Yep.
Right? And Trouba has chosen to step up, as a D does. Right? And he wants to take the body. But
as a D do.
Principal point of contact is the head, right? And the league, clearly, like, to me, if this is 5 years ago, this is not suspendable.
Right.
Right? And so...
Are you okay with that?
I'm totally fine with that.
Because those would be the two arguments, right, is what the things we know now that we didn't before, especially about head trauma and things like that.
And we talked about Chris Neal at his 1,000th game, never being suspended. Man, if you go back and retroactively look at his hits.
Yeah. Probably a few suspensions in
there.
Man,
he is serving a pile of suspensions.
Yeah.
So to me, that's just the evolution of the game, right? And forgive me if I'm from Repeaterboro, because probably on the same day we talked about Phil Esposito and they said, yeah, hey, any goals in the blue crease? You can't be in the blue paint?
Yeah.
Phil, you went from 700 goals to 47 goals, right? If you go retroactive and go, yeah, we're taking all that shit back.
I may need to revisit my all-time Team Canada if it's playing under 2017 rules.
Well, this is it, right? Foot in the blue paint?
Yeah.
Oh, interfering with the goalie? No, okay, Phil, you have no goals.
Gordy may also have no place on my team.
This is it. Dino Cicerelli.
He suspended the entire
fucking... Come on, honestly, this is it.
Yeah.
And those kind of guys who make their living, the guys we love.
Yeah.
Right? And you enjoy those guys who get in the dirty areas.
Hooligans and the men who love them on the next Tall Can Sports. Uncomfortable with that labeling?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think, obviously, if this isn't the perfect suspension, it's a little high is where you would lean to.
Yeah. Well, no, the league has to. They got to suspend Trouba due to the principal point of contact being the head. Right? And so to me, it's the interesting part that comes out of it. And we've touched on it a bit now already in terms of how the sport is trending.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the evolution of head as the point of contact being ruled out, right? You have a bunch of centards who are saying things like, oh, he deserves 10 games or 15 games. And you're like, okay, man, shut up.
Reel it in.
Yeah.
Reel it in.
and then you have the other side who are saying, yeah, well, how come no senator stepped up and fought him on the spot? There needs to be retribution and it needs to be instant. And you're going, hey, idiot, listen, it's a bang bang play.
Yeah.
Right?
You said it, 0.6 of a second.
And you're down 3-2 in the third.
Yeah.
Right? It's a bang bang play. You take the power play. Hey, honestly, they hoped it was more.
Yes.
Because it was clear at the time.
Yep.
Bang, it was ahead. He targeted it, but no, two. Man, we need the points this time of year. Bang bang play.
You don't need to be ending up with some kind of shitty even up call just so that you can go out and get some blood, right?
And this is it. And you know what? And those days, people can like it or not. Those days are over in this league. That shit doesn't happen anymore.
So at this point, what I think you already referenced this. But there was a few numbers thrown around. What are they counting on Stone being out?
They're not. And the funny thing is, and I'm unclear on it. Now, by the time this airs...
This could be anything.
Yeah, by the time this airs, right, who knows?
Yeah.
Right? But what we're looking at is he made the trip to Jersey.
Yeah.
They're saying he's doubtful, but why fly him to Jersey if he's doubtful?
Yeah. So there's a chance he's going to go.
Well, this is it.
Be all right.
Right? So to me, they are counting on this being short term.
And I don't think either one of us... And when I ask the question, it's not to suggest... If he's out this long, the suspension should be this long. I think you enter a real problem area when you start to tie.
Well, okay, and you touched on it, right? And so it comes down to this suspension does not help Ottawa in any way. We play them again late in the season.
Yeah. Did you spend them for that game?
Well, okay, and really, it is just fantasy land.
Sure.
And you can't get involved in this kind of stuff, but you go, well... They're rolling out of here, and they're going straight to Toronto.
Yeah,
who is 3 points behind us in the standings,
yep.
And that's actually not helping us.
Right.
So he's taken out Stone, and now he's not in line. And this is a lineup that's already missing Tyler Myers.
Yep.
Right. You are now taking.
You may have, in theory, assisted hurt Ottawa,
one of our closest competitors for a playoff spot.
Right.
Right. And so I get it. You can't get into the whole idea of, well, we want him suspended for these games.
Well, I wonder.
Can we defer it? Which is what I said to you this morning.
Yeah.
Or can we decline it?
We want him to play Toronto.
Exactly.
Right?
Decline.
Yeah.
Suspension decline.
Yeah. I wonder if it doesn't get talked about a lot. And when it does, it kind of gets laughed at. But if there isn't some, let's say. This is a slightly different incident, and he gets a 5-game suspension. He serves four now, but the last one maybe should come against if you're going to see that team again. Like, is it as crazy as, you know, you are, we're the ones offended, right? If you're an Ottawa fan, he's hurt us. I don't think it's that crazy to think that one of those games should be a game where we play him. Now you start to run into shit. What do you want to do if we're late in the season? You're not going to see them again. And can you defer it to next season?
You can. You can. Yeah. And then if you go, well, he's going to retire at the end of the season. All right. Well, too bad.
Yeah. I guess we lose out, right?
We lose out. But how about Dale Hunter on Pat LaFontaine, right? Yeah. Those sorts of things where you get 25 games.
Well, and okay. And I don't think you can defer all 25 of them to the next 25 times we play. Every time they roll into Ottawa for the next decade, that guy's sitting
out. I'm retiring. I don't care, man. I'm taking Nazem Kadri's. I'm checking that number right now. Yeah, there's no way around that. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't know. It's a kind of a fucked up situation in how it has to be, but I mean, it's just how it's always been.
And that's all. And really, to me, those are the things. So Trouba, I get it. And again, never suspended. No, never
not
fined.
Not a dirty player.
Not a dirty player, right? Averages around 50 PIMs a year.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's out there looking to – and he stepped up. Bang. Unfortunate.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's what happens.
Yeah.
And so, he got what he deserved. The league wants to crack down on headshots.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the two games. You can't be 10 or 15 like those idiots want to.
No.
And then the flip side of that is, you know what?
10 or 15.
You can't
I mean, on that play.
You can't get crazy with retaliation.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you know what? We play them again, and it comes down to, do you retaliate? Do you do something to Trouba?
It gets you suspended.
Or do you do something to Line A?
Yep. Yep. I think we all know the answer to that.
Okay, and you know what?
Because you know what? This sounds, before you move away, there was a game a little while ago, maybe November, Toronto playing Vancouver. And Matt Martin starts some shit with one of their rookies.
Yeah.
And puts a label not on Matt Martin's back. Matt Martin, the only job he has on this team, supposedly, is to defend these kids.
Cooler.
You think when you're running out to Vancouver to play them a month later, are they coming after Matt Martin? Or are they going to smash Mitch Marner or Austin Matthews? Or, like, we're carrying too many of these kids that, not too many, like, they're doing their job, but there's way better targets out there that you have put a bullseye on, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so it becomes kind of this, like you said, we could run Jake Trouba next time, or we'll see what Mark Scheifele's doing, right?
Well,
So, I mean, that's kind of that old school thinking, but it's not gone.
I'm going with the recently concussed Hattrick Laine.
That's clever.
Hey, and now transit, because I think we've exhausted the Trouba comment.
Yep.
And really, in a very short topic, I'm interested because Winnipeg does roll into Toronto tonight, and you do have the first – I believe this is the first head-to-head of
– No, they played second week of the season.
Okay.
And so that was – it might be the third game of the year, at least for the Leafs, where Toronto played on opening night. Matthews had – four goals.
In Ottawa. We all remember that very well.
The next night, Laine gets a hat trick, and you go, holy fuck, this is going to be a fun race, right?
Like, they're going to score 150 goals each, those guys.
Right. And we saw them very soon after that, and Winnipeg won that, I think.
And Laine outscored him, that night?
I think so. I don't remember the details. What I do remember is that Toronto was up something like 4-0 going into the third and lost in overtime.
Okay, that's a record that repeats, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure it is. So I don't remember exactly what happened that night, but there was a significant point of time there, maybe right up till Laine got hurt,
leading
in goals.
Yeah, well, I think I may be a couple games old on this, but I think there was 27 to 26, I think, were the goal scoring.
It's something like that. It's very close again, and it will allow.
And I'm wondering, right, as Calder voters, you know, does this game carry more weight than another? The Winnipeg versus Calgary.
Well, Mitch Marner.
Like, anybody gives a shit about that game outside of Calgary and Winnipeg.
Right.
And even some of those people, I'm almost positive, don't give a shit.
Mitch Marner quietly has more points. And I don't know. Again,
you know what? And I told you, watching him at the beginning of the season, to me, he's the shiny penny in that.
Yeah.
He is, way more eye-catching at this point.
Well, it's a style of play thing, right? He's more Laine is also much more eye-catching than Matthews, right? In the style, in what you do. But it becomes one of these things. I don't want to talk too much about tonight because this won't be heard by most people till the game's over.
Yeah.
But in general, I think...
Marner's still out, though, yeah?
Yes, yeah. And watch, he'll end up playing and we'll look stupid and that's fine. But it won't
this
be the
just
first
in,
time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, this just in, that happens all the time.
Right. So I think, given what Laine has missed thus far, a couple of games, I think it probably means that in the eyes of a lot of Calder voters, it would be hard to say Patrick Laine isn't the favorite at this point. If you're looking at things objectively, otherwise, Austin Matthews, I guess, is a center. You could make the argument that's a tougher position, and he has improved quite a bit in his own end. But with the flash that Laine has put up and done it in a few less games, if you want to come down to just numbers, which is kind of what Rookie of the Year usually comes down to, it's probably Patrick Laine. Zach Werenski has cooled a little bit lately, still playing very well for a rookie defenseman at that age. You know, that position, it's much harder. He's not getting as much talk as maybe he otherwise would. But it's probably at this point, even with Marner ahead in points and what Werenski has done in Columbus on defense, it's probably still between the two guys. And at this point, it would be difficult not to give the nod to Laine. Like, in your mind, after Patrick Laine having done this in a couple less games, does that put him over the top? I think the only thing that maybe is keeping it close, even though the points and goals are close, is Austin Matthews as a center. It's a slightly tougher position.
So you're back to the center versus winger.
Yeah. But don't you have to be?
Okay, but you talk about Werenski, and what about Jimmy Vesey? Right, with the Rangers.
Yeah, I haven't taken a look at his numbers in a while. I don't think he's in the class of any of the guys we're talking.
Well, early on he was,
yes,
for sure.
Yep.
Right? But I'd say since the 40-game mark,
yeah,
clearly cooled. Now, who's
college
getting...
College boy.
Yeah, well, this is it. The ones who get... What about Matt Murray? He is Calder eligible.
Yeah. And you know what? That is interesting. And I haven't seen much of... I know he was hurt earlier. He's certainly back from that and seems to be playing well.
And he's pushed Fleury to the...
Back to the bench again.
Yeah, to the red aces, black aces, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. Got to be in the conversation. But you're just not... maybe it's different up here. Like, maybe I'm reading too much Toronto. I probably am.
Yeah.
Are you hearing a lot about Matt Murray in that race?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't say that to dismiss it.
Well, okay. You have two sexy picks of two rookies who are going to push 40 goals.
I got three, right? With Zach Werenski. You got Murray ahead of Werenski.
I probably got Marner ahead of Werenski.
Yeah. It's tough, right? And do you think that's a market thing?
Where I am?
No, where he is in Columbus.
Yeah, well, I think he's cooled significantly, right? Mm-hmm. I think with their huge ride that they were on, right? They've cooled. He's cooled. I think the whole thing has sort of put you can put a hold on Tortorella getting the Adams too.
Yes.
Okay, hello, Bruce Boudreau.
For sure.
And let's look back to Matt's.
No, wait. Nothing has changed on my Boudreau pick in that they always win the division and then do nothing in the playoffs.
Okay, but you picked them to not make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. I said they would have the worst goaltending. Them and
okay, but I agree with you on that. So
Dallas?
We don't want to draw too much. No, you said
them and
we agreed on it, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it was... Anyways.
Them and the two of them would have the worst goaltending in the league. They probably have the best.
Right. Yeah. Devin Dubnyk.
Yeah.
And, well, for sure.
And whoever.
Dubnyk. No. We're both wearing the Dubnyk thing heavily. Right. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Hey, the point here is to draw attention to your shortcomings.
We don't have all day.
We weren't even beginning to address your physical attributes.
I got nothing there.
Anyways, interesting. We'll see how that goes head-to-head.
But you have Matt Murray in the top three.
I absolutely do.
Okay.
To me, this is Laine, Murray, and Matthews.
Okay. And
Because to me, the Marner-Matthews thing...
They're taking votes from each other.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
And probably each other. Yeah.
And really, let's look at Nylander in another year.
That's been
In any other year, Nylander is getting lots of love.
And even behind him... Connor Brown is on pace for 50 points.
I don't got any time for Connor Brown.
Yeah, well, he's a good two-way player. He's doing his thing. He's on pace for 50 points.
Okay, but I look at Nylander.
Nylander is flashier.
And that goal he scored, and I'm talking about head-to-head last week sometime against Ottawa, right? That puck is on his stick, readjust in a flash. And that puck is gone.
Yeah.
Right? Goal scorer. Yep. That's how that goes.
And he's on pace to finish with only like 2 points behind Matthews and Marner. But it's just like, yeah, but we got Matthews and Marner.
I think it's Connor Brown. No. Get the fuck out of here with the Connor Brown talk.
I will never give up on downtown Connor Brown, man.
Yeah, clearly. Look at you.
No, it's interesting. And like you said, they're going to – Nylander may get a couple of votes. But he'll take them from Matthews or Marner.
Well, this is it. And that's what all I'm suggesting is it's crazy how that works out.
Yeah.
Right? That – In this 1 year, you're going to end up with a shit ton. You got three in Toronto.
Well, you got Western Canada, I'm sure, screaming about Matthew Tkachuk, right? Who's had a hell of a season, again, in any other year.
Okay. Yeah, but Matthew Tkachuk, for sure, in Calgary, I picked him up in my fantasy pool.
Yeah.
Because he'll bring you the pims, he'll bring you the shots, he'll do all those sorts of things. Not in the class of any of those five guys we've mentioned.
But my point
bring
being,
that conversation to me.
No. But my point being, there would be years where that guy's in the conversation. Sure. Well, that's all.
Yeah. So, but to me, he's fringe. He's fringe in any year. Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, I don't know. In the Ekblad year,
but Ekblad's a stud.
Yeah, I didn't say he would win it. I said he was in the conversation. Okay. Right? Sorry. There's some weaker classes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying Matthew Tkachuk is probably never a Calder winner.
Okay. And we can probably agree on that.
I would say, yeah, okay.
There are years where, yeah.
Because you and I aren't going to come down to, we're not going to come to blows over, is he a finalist? Is he a top three? Yeah, okay, probably.
Come close to blows on lesser fucking.
Yeah, and probably, but I'm just saying, yeah. In this year, he's not top five.
No, that's right. Well, because you've already got six guys ahead of him.
So. I was going to say, he may not even be top six. I was going to say, we were just bumping him back.
Yeah, so.
But this is a bumper crop.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, great segue, Rob. Thank you. Into what's going to happen if you look at Sakic in Colorado and all the talk we've been listening to.
I think he has an excellent chance at Nolan Patrick.
Okay. All right. But see, this is where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Right? So they're on pace, I think, for 50 points.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. And so people talk about – and we fielded questions, right, in our listeners sending their questions, Q&A. Yep. And they talked about the Lightning. By all experts' opinions, experts not in my pants, not a strong draft year, right? In terms of the Avalanche, people are complaining. They're asking for the moon,
yes.
Right? In terms of Duchesne and Landeskog.
Yep.
And you know what? Why wouldn't Sakic ask for the moon?
Yep. They always ask for the moon. You don't have to give it to him, right?
You can't get – I haven't even heard, and maybe you have, right, in terms of, yeah, Sakic is asking for a top six, a prospect, and a pick. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard, but I do know that what he's asking for is too rich for Ottawa.
Let me throw one down that I have read recently.
I love it.
From Montreal.
But Montreal sucks. And you know what? They're
leading the division.
Yep, but prospect poor.
Yes. But so you're going to have to give up Michael Sergachev, which is their top prospect, had a pretty good World Junior.
Okay, and Colorado is looking for D.
Yep. Alex Galchenyuk.
Who I don't like at all.
I don't either, especially because he's killing me in our same fantasy pool.
Okay, but to me, Galchenyuk is
But you not, would do that. You'll include him for Matt Duchesne.
Absolutely, I would.
And a first round pick. Would you do that package for Matt Duchesne? And if you don't like Alex Galchenyuk, it's an easier – but you are now this year's first overall pick, which is going to be
– a low pick.
Yep.
You're talking about mid-20s.
Yep. Sergachev, who jury is out on, but had a good World Junior.
Right.
Looks pretty good.
He's in Windsor right now too, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And so he is – I think he's
– which I think also is where Galchenyuk played, but
Galchenyuk, I think, was in Sarnia with
one of those
Stamkos.
Southern fucking – yeah, that's right. So –
and maybe that's not with Stamkos, but
same time frame, maybe a little after
Yakupov.
Yeah, that's better. Do you think if you're Montreal, would you do that? That is a lot. That's a good young top end center.
Okay,
whether you love him or not.
Okay, but to me, that is you're giving up on a serviceable top nine forward, because that, to me, that's where Galchenyuk is.
Yeah, he's six for me. They're trying to use him on the top line.
All right,
that
all
doesn't
right.
fit, but he's top six for me.
Okay, because to me, he's probably too good for a third line.
Yeah.
So, but probably not good enough for a legit.
Okay.
He's not seen any power play time on a good team.
Okay.
I don't love him.
I'm getting that from you loud and clear.
Okay, so to me, it comes down to your first pick and Sergachev.
Yeah.
And we saw a little of Sergachev in the preseason, and he stuck around for...
And the scouts and the experts all do seem to be high on him.
I liked what he brought as an 18-year-old in early season action. I'm doing that. Especially if you can get the feelers on
Duchesne.
If you're
Montreal, you're doing
well, and you know what? Duchesne.
He's got 2 years after this. So it's not a rental.
For sure. And Duchesne, if you're anybody, you're looking at it going, Montreal's window is 2 years anyways.
That's Carey Price is up.
Weber. Price.
Well, Weber. But Price is actually up. Like, and okay,
But give that guy the moon.
Okay, but I've read a couple of things from Pierre LeBrun, who I have a peg lower than maybe Bob McKenzie and some of these other guys, that said he's going to look around. If this Price? Isn't getting done, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying but
if you're Montreal, yeah, give him the moon, but he may not take the moon.
Okay, but you also have to – yeah, I think Montreal has to start making moves and smart moves.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, of course it is.
That's not what they do.
Okay, it isn't what they do, right? And so to me, if you look at it and go with Weber, you look at the core and they have Weber till, I don't know, 2050?
Yeah, something like that.
Right? And so you go – we have a window of 2 years. Duchesne's in for 2 years, right? We're going to back end Sergachev. We're going to get rid of that because that's a Colorado need.
Yeah.
Right? Why not? And the reality is Sakic asking for the moon, they're not going to deal either of those guys before the deadline or including the deadline.
I agree.
To me, those guys are –
those are summer moves.
Those are draft day moves.
Maybe even –
see, because there is nothing. You look at.
Yeah, things are going to get crazy around the expansion draft too, right? In terms of
and you've touched on already. Nolan Patrick. You looked at Liljegren, right? Who comes up in Craig Button's?
Yeah.
Number two, both those guys have played less than 10 games or 15 games.
Yeah, a lot
year,
of injuries
right?
and
right. Patrick is coming off of a summer hernia surgery.
Yes.
Coupled by he's got whatever happened to him in season.
I think it was like a hand or something, wasn't it? Like a wrist or a...
Liljegren has had... Am I saying his name right?
I'm not sure. I've seen it written a pile of times.
Plays for Rogla.
Rogla.
Arugula. Arugula. But he's had mono, right? In terms of... Mm-hmm. Now, he is the defenseman, right? And so Patrick is a center... And then as you move down from there in terms of this year's draft, right, you're looking about, you know.
Well, it seems to drop off.
Well, and even so to me, you're looking at two guys who are going to play less than half a season in their draft year.
Yeah.
And they were saying that this could be the fewest number of games played by a first overall since Gord Kluzak in the 80s.
Where the fuck did Gord Kluzak get drafted to?
Boston.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
They do some stupid
shit. Yeah, for sure they do.
Because you know what?
And have forever.
Because they are in the mix, as we're talking about Colorado, apparently for Landeskog and interested in that type of player. Like, they're still trying to replace.
You know what? Landeskog to me,
disappointment for me.
Oh, all right. Well, you're a guy who's used to that.
Yeah, for sure.
But to me, Landeskog
plus
is.
Plus my hockey teams.
Landeskog is the kind of guy who you build a winner around. Right? To me, he's an Alfredson type player.
How'd that go? Wingers, man. You need a fucking center. Take Duchesne every time. If the price is going to be similar, Duchesne every time. Pick Tyson Barrie every time.
No. Duchesne is not a two-way player.
No, he's not.
So to me, Landeskog...
Neither was Joe Sakic.
Okay, and you know what? I've misspoken in terms of at least the language that I'm going to build this argument off of. I'm not building. You're not build. Landeskog is not going in the next 2 years to be the centerpiece of any cup-winning team.
Okay, because that is exactly what you said.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But he is going in there, and he is going to be inserted as a second-line guy who's going to absolutely give first-line guys the foundation to win. That's the kind of guy you're going to win with.
That's Landeskog. What we heard coming in. He was going to be the next Mike Richards, right? Coming out of Steve Spott's Kitchener Ranger.
Well, and you know what? Nobody in outside of Patrick Waugh, who doesn't fucking have a job anymore that he doesn't pay himself for, right? Who obviously didn't like Duchesne either.
Right.
Right? Who ran that guy down.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't want to make this about Rob hates Matt Duchesne because, man, Rob would love to have Matt Duchesne in Ottawa, right? So, but to me, Landeskog's a winner. Captain, gritty, all the way through, can play both ends of the ice. To me...
Have you seen it? That's what... That was the scouting report.
How many Avalanche games have I seen?
I get that. Me neither, right? But...
I turn that shit off in, when it comes on.
I remember the World Junior that he was going to play in was maybe 2010, maybe, 09. I don't remember. But... He was supposed to be this thing, and that all these things that you're describing, this two-way gritty guy, and Steve Spott kept comparing him to Mike Richards, and what I haven't seen a ton of Colorado either, but I'm not sure I see that, right? And maybe it's just because I haven't seen enough, but it's like people come in with this reputation, especially because you and I are such hardcore World Junior guys that. You kind of stick to this World Junior narrative, this thing that was, as they were selling you the tournament and as you're watching those tournaments and at that level, he definitely was that. I just don't know if we've seen it at the next level in the NHL. And, you know, maybe that's what he is just on a bad team, or maybe he was oversold and he's doesn't have those things. It doesn't help when you name a 20-year-old captain, which they did. But I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, and so to me, Landeskog, when you look at him as a captain and junior, as a guy who played on a very good Kitchener Ranger team,
yep.
He's moved right into a shitty environment, right? Which is, and it'll be interesting, what happens in when you make that direct comparison with what they had in... Good idea. Thank you. When you look at what they've had in Toronto.
I find when it's going to be time to argue the Colorado Avalanche more beers necessary.
Yeah, well, if this is where we've got to in the show, right? And clearly, all I'm suggesting is.
So what's the comparison you were going to hit there in Toronto?
Well, is leadership, both on the ice and off the ice, if you're going to have a young core, as they do in Colorado.
Yeah.
MacKinnon. Duchesne, Landeskog as a captain.
Well, don't you think, in comparatively speaking, Toronto went with Mike Babcock, Colorado went with Patrick Waugh, and you go, oh, fuck.
Okay, and that's exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
Right, with this.
We don't have a clear captain. Someone else is going to have to do this.
Well, and you have Babcock running the ship there.
Yeah.
Right? Great leadership.
Yeah.
Great leadership. Just ask him.
Wait till the NHLers are in the Olympics again and Babcock's running the team. Rob will like him again.
Rob's calling out for Joel Quenneville.
Okay, well.
Give that guy a chance.
Yeah, 2010 and 2014 sucked. We need to change it up.
Take a look at the talent.
Yeah.
Man, we put it all on Mike Babcock.
No. Anyway, whatever. We wanted to talk a little about the Panthers, unless you got anything else on.
No, you know what?
I think you and I are coaching that Team Canada team.
This is it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And all I'm saying is, yeah, I agree that Babcock, an experienced winning coach,
yeah.
Right? And he brings with him a bit of that Messiah kind of
right.
Phil Jackson.
Regardless of what you think of what job he had to do with that Team Canada, he did it, and so now he walks in with it.
For sure.
Right.
Cito Gaston, 92-93 Jays, right?
Wasn't so good in 2010 when they tried.
But you got...
Oh, no, the players are different.
You got a bunch of personalities, right? Yes. And sometimes your job is blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
right? And so, no, you're right.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna be put in the ring with a woman. I'm expected to win.
I'm not loving where this is about to go.
if I get knocked out, they go, Rob's a bitch. Look at that. He got owned. Or
Brian, yeah, if you could isolate that.
Or if I
Rob's
win.
Rob's own voice. Rob's a bitch.
Fuck you, Rob.
Yeah. That's written on the walls in here.
Yes. Yeah. So anyways, all I'm saying is exactly what the point you made.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago. Was exactly that. That young core needs to have a steady hand at the wheel. Toronto has that with Marner, Nylander, Matthews, Brown,
Riley.
Yeah, Riley. What a fat face loser.
Okay. And Babcock.
Zaitsev. And Babcock at the hand. At the helm.
Yeah, running it.
Right, whereas out there.
Fucking lunatic. Trying to push the glass down. And the Ducks are pushing it back.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that is obviously the huge difference. But I think you look at and go, if we look at who's available in this draft class, I think Sakic is better off looking for warm prospects now.
Ready to play.
Whether it's Shabbat here in Ottawa or it's...
So I think I asked you this off the air.
What's the guy's name in Boston?
Charlie McAvoy.
McAvoy, right?
Yeah. Brendan Carlo is apparently the one that Boston would rather give up, which means you want McAvoy.
This is it, right? The guy who was a stud at...
He was fantastic.
Yes.
So you mentioned Thomas Chabot just before we move off this. Are you prepared to have a conversation with Colorado about Matt Duchene or Gabriel Landeskog that starts with...
Landeskog.
That starts with Thomas Chabot and a first.
Well, you know what? Yes, you have to be.
Because do you think, and I'm spinning this off here into a different, do you think at this point, because Chabot, you know, prospects out to be Erik Karlsson, but not Erik Karlsson, but that type of defenseman where you can kind of go, yeah, I got that, right? Like, he won't ever be... Because very few will ever be
right.
What Erik Karlsson is, but that type of where you, I've got Erik Karlsson, and he's still young enough where I don't need another one.
Yeah, but you've touched on it, right? The window.
Yeah.
The window, right? And so if you can parlay a Chabot, who we don't really know, if we hoped he was 80% of Karlsson.
Yeah.
If that's his absolute ceiling, 75%.
Yeah.
80% of Karlsson, whatever that is. If that's his absolute ceiling, all right. But if we can parlay that into a Matt Duchene.
Close to home for him, he might consider re-signing.
This is it.
3 hours from, I can tell you what the drive from Ottawa to Halliburton is.
Yeah.
It's not far, man.
And you know he is never Duchene. Even if he lives out this contract, man, Colorado's got a pile of work to do.
Yeah.
Patrick Waugh has run that guy down. The association hasn't backed him always.
I think they've all but said we're building around McKinnon and these other two guys are gone. When you think about them as young guys, they are, but they're not as young as McKinnon, and we're holding on to him, and we'll see what we can build around him.
Yeah, they said...
he's got to be going...
Rasmussen, Mikko Rasmussen...
Rasmus Rasmussen, isn't it?
No, Mikko Rasmussen. Mikko...
Okay. They also had Gregorenko they picked up in the O'Reilly deal. That hasn't panned out.
But they're saying Yost.
Yep.
Mikko.
Something or other.
Okay. And McKinnon. Those are the untouchables.
Yeah. So you would be prepared. Because I don't think Chabot in a first gets it done. I think that's the starting.
Well, no. And so.
Now you have to
Ottawa will circle back.
Yeah.
Trade deadline. Maybe even in the draft.
Yeah.
But I think on trade deadline, Ottawa will circle back with what they're willing to do. And I think likely they're willing to give up Colin White and a first.
So, you know, he's asking for the moon. White, Chabot, and a first.
No way. The first to me is irrelevant because it's going to be 20th.
20. Yep.
It's going to be right in that neck of the woods in a weak draft.
Yep.
So to me, the first is so, whatever. We'll throw it.
Okay,
now,
so
we,
let
we
me
already
soften.
Have we already have no second.
But let me go. Oh, okay. So that was going to be my question. I'll soften. Would you do Shabbat white in a second?
Yeah, we've already given it away. Okay. And so if we give
what'd
our.
What'd you get for it? Do you remember?
If we, I think our second is in the FNUF trade.
All right, sweet. And we'll deal it for fucking
yeah,
machine.
And so, and I'm not sure if it's not our second this year, it's our second next year.
Sweet.
But there was a second that went in the FNUF deal.
That deal just keeps on giving.
You know what? Why? I'll still do it.
I think both teams are pretty happy with how it's gone.
Yeah. No, I still do that trade.
Because I watched Dion still – he's still getting turned to the outside. Like, I was in the building on Sunday.
For sure he does.
But he's still just a dick in the corners right in front of the net.
And I think you know what? He's going to end up with 15 goals this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. And they don't – maybe they do. Maybe I'm not watching enough games. But it's fun to me to watch him and Carlson on the power play at the same time. And you don't – from what I've seen, they don't love that together.
No, they don't.
No.
FNUF comes out quite often in the second
half. Now, but every now and then.
But he'll be on still because Carlson plays a full two.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. It's fun to me to see that because they just do things so differently. But together, I mean, if FNUF hits the net, he's got a hell of a fucking bomb from back there.
And, honestly, he scored two goals recently. Off of face-offs.
Yeah. I was watching one of those. It might have been the Toronto game. I can't remember. But
just clapping it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, just clapping him.
And
Jesse,
you know what?
Clapping
and so he's a, and he's a dick down low.
Yep.
And we've touched on this.
Yeah.
He's way overpaid.
Sure he is. Yeah.
He was overpaid as I railed against him when he was in Toronto, right?
Yep.
He's way overpaid, right? And good for him. We all hate him for that. But the reality is, yeah.
Good for you, bud.
Good for you, bud.
Let's talk a little Panthers before we get out of here.
Okay, and see, and coming into tonight, they're 8-1-1. They are the team that you go, where the fuck did those guys, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Where did they come from? Because honestly, I think we both had them buried.
At one point, you're like, when we did the midseason
so, and we're looking at
check-in. Because
okay,
I think we
Toronto,
both had them to win the division
Boston,
at the beginning.
For sure. Well, I had them finishing second, I think, in the division. I think we both had Tampa.
That sounds right.
Winning the division. I think I had Florida second and Montreal third.
Okay.
Ottawa fourth.
Okay.
I
think, now that you say that, I think we went the same top three and then I flipped Boston for, for whatever it was.
And so... Man, we're looking smarter, though. We're looking smarter.
But there's been three very distinct Florida seasons, and we're into this one now where they're all healthy, and you go, oh, yeah, they're good. Holy fuck, they're good, right?
Well, okay. And so to me, the most intriguing thing is Jerry Gallant.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years off the Adams Trophy curse. Is you go... They couldn't win, but how many injuries did those guys have?
What do you think of their new number one goalie, James Reimer? If the playoffs started today, that guy's starting game one.
I don't think so.
I think you are wrong, sir, and I think you should look at the numbers again and how often they're going to him right now. And
well, because I have. We're going to refer back to our much-talked-about fantasy teams.
Because people can't get enough of that. But you're right. You got Lou.
And I got Luongo.
Yeah.
And
Reimer with another shutout on Saturday, I think it was.
Nope.
Against, they played St. Louis. Florida played St. Louis, and Reimer was fantastic in another. Anyway, I don't actually want to talk about that. He's played extremely well, I'm sure, between now and
Luongo
has 17 wins. Okay. They've had three very distinct seasons, and this one is the healthy one, and they're kicking ass, right? And you kind of look at it and go, okay, Trocheck back, Ekblad's healthy, Huberto back.
They've got that top line of Barkov, Jagr, and Huberto. Huberto's got 7 points in his last four games.
Is it fucked up that Jagr's the only one on that line who hasn't missed significant time this year?
Dude's a horse.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
Right from the waist down.
Yeah.
I can't speak of his business.
Whoops. His hung like a horse.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, the thighs like tree trunks, big goal, big hockey ass.
Yeah.
He'll be 45 this year.
Yeah.
He's 44 right now.
And I think I've told this story on the pod before. But I loved the idea that this year was the 25th anniversary of the 92 Stanley Cup winning Pens, and he had to miss the game because he was still playing. Or miss the reunion because he was playing in a game.
Yeah.
Fucking guy.
Well, and so he was in that sweet 90 draft class.
Yeah.
Right? Owen Nolan, Mike Ricci, Peter Nedved, Keith Primo, and Jaromir Jagr. There's your top five.
Fucking Keith Primo. Leaf killer.
Yeah. Number three to the Wings.
Yeah.
Right there. And I think Jagr was the fifth pick in that draft. Nolan one, Nedved two, Primo three, Ricci four, Jagr five.
To do it over again.
Okay. Take the guy who's gonna get 2,000. Yeah, nine Nedved five for sure. Mike Ricci, handsomest man in Colorado.
Maybe he's
2 years
five as well.
2 years running. Yeah, can we make him six? Now, he was a great two-way player.
But those guys have been. Let me throw this down for you right now. The Florida Panthers will win the Atlantic Division. I'm saying it right here, and I'm sticking to it. Which means what I've really just done is probably push Toronto out. Because Montreal's not falling that far. Ottawa's not falling that far. Now well, Toronto...
Hey, on Ottawa, we just talked about it. Bobby Ryan out 4-6 with a finger injury.
Well, what the fuck's he really done?
Okay, but wait. So if you look at the beginning of the season, you look at guys who... You had Clark MacArthur in your top six.
Yes.
Gone.
Yep.
Bobby Ryan out 4-6.
Yep.
He's out. Mike Hoffman not playing tonight, groin injury. Mark Stone, neck injury.
Might play. Yep.
But all I'm saying is, man, Ottawa and Ottawa's only the
three up on Toronto.
This is it. It's precarious.
As we talk
man.
Now,
that whole thing is and Toronto sits as we talk right now.
One back of Boston.
Outside the playoffs.
Yep. And
3 points back of Ottawa.
And all
I'm saying
that
nothing
talk,
is secure. And,
all that talk
and Montreal
about
is two up.
On you. On second. Yeah. All that talk about games in hand, they're gone for Toronto. They've
see,
used
see,
them and they're one
see,
back.
Ottawa still has two on Montreal.
Yes. But I think Florida, who has
well,
one
that's,
on
that's
both,
provocative fucking talk.
Yeah. They will get that done.
And so, you see,
that
they
pushes
fired,
for
they,
me.
They fired Jerry Gallant.
Montreal
Gallant.
And all in Ottawa are at 2-3 in either order. You want to see that? And then potentially the crossover, potentially Boston.
Well,
that's maybe Toronto still, but to me, they're...
In our crazy buckshot talk that we had earlier on, you look at in the Q&A, the listener Q&A,
yeah,
about Tampa and their down season. We've already touched on bad draft.
Yeah,
they've made a push. They're only 5 points, I believe, out of...
Well, even... Buffalo's only three behind Toronto.
Well,
which
see,
catching Toronto right now does nothing for you. That's out of a playoff spot.
No,
but
no,
they're
but
right in the
that's
race.
In the mix.
Yes.
Right. So no, to me, you look at Carolina. I think is out.
Yep.
Philly
is out. There's really like the Islanders were dead and buried. They have come flying back. They are in it in a
Thank
big
you,
way.
Doug Waite.
Right. Said no one ever.
Yeah.
So they right now, like. Those are the kind of the four teams for me, right? It's going to be Toronto. It's going to be the Islanders. It's going to be Carolina. And it's going to be...
Yes, Carolina's done.
For two... Yeah.
Yeah, Carolina's
else
out.
That's in that... There was four teams anyway. The two were going to get in those wild cards. The Islanders and the Leafs were in that mix.
So, to me...
Maybe still the Flyers. So, I haven't seen the standing.
Yeah, to me, it's Detroit is out.
Detroit's out.
Carolina's out.
Jersey's out.
Jersey's out.
Yeah.
For sure, those... I'm willing to put a fork in those guys.
We were also willing to put some forks on some people.
Well, but and Tampa too, I think.
Tampa's
really.
Probably out because they just the help's just not coming quick enough.
No, but what I'm saying is they're not going to get a high enough draft pick, and the draft isn't that strong.
Yeah.
To me, you just sucked this year, and you've wasted a year.
Yeah, looks like.
And you know what? We get smarter the longer the year goes.
Well, sure. We'll talk on the last night of the season. These fuckers are done. Right
yeah. Here. Well, okay. And due to the wild card, that's how this goes.
Yeah. I'm kind of hating the wild card right now.
No, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Okay.
As
but,
someone who's clear of it.
No, what I'm saying is we're not clear of it. And to me...
I have a hard time seeing Ottawa falling, even with those injuries.
All right.
But Anderson coming back.
Nothing is secure.
Sure. No.
And so you look at, we're going, hey, man, we're 2 points out of first.
Yeah, you go,
We're 2 points out of first, but we're 3 points out of being out of the wild card.
Yeah.
To me, it's
yeah,
precarious.
You go winless in four, and all of a sudden,
we're in it.
And I just talked about the injuries.
Yeah.
Right? So. At least where we sit right now today.
Yeah.
It's precarious.
Anything else on the Panthers? I know we they were kind of the...
And all I wanted to say was, you look
Gerard
at...
Gerard Gallant.
Jerry Gallant, with the injuries they had, right? He didn't become a shitty coach. And I think he is, if Vegas is smart...
That's got to be the guy.
They snatch him up. Forget about Hitchcock and whatever else.
He's ahead of Jack Capuano.
Well,
he's in the mix.
I know.
We've had some people,
and people
love more about Vegas than we do and what they're looking to do.
Okay, well, and you know what? Jack Capuano is not the right choice for Vegas.
And neither is Hitchcock.
No, it's Jerry Gallant. Honest to God, that guy is going to do
the
job there.
You got to figure they badly wanted Julian. And, that would have been a great...
And I've said on this show on multiple occasions, Julian will not be the coach in Vegas.
And so did Mark. Because what we did talk about on that show was the first guy you hire is the guy who gets you through those 2 or 3 years where you're shit. And then when you might be ready to turn it around, you hire a guy you want to... hire this guy to fire him.
And if that's what you want to do, then you hire Jack Capuano.
Well, don't you think that's it? Like, the guy who gets you through these ugly years and is that bullet that George McPhee as the GM needs a bullet in the chamber to fire off that makes it look like he's fucking doing something.
Nashville hired Barry Trotz, and they hung with him.
Yeah, that's a great fucking example.
That's what I do.
Oh, because fucking Minnesota and Columbus also hired people. And
hey, Barry Trotz and Nashville. That's the one I came up with.
Fuck, what was the guy in Minnesota, French guy? You know who I'm talking, Jacques Lemaire. Yeah, he hung around for quite a while, put that defensive trap system in that allowed them to hang around.
He brought that boring as shit system in there into a market in Minnesota who knows hockey, right?
Yeah.
And said, you know what? We can live with, they got NHL hockey back.
Yeah.
We can live with boring as shit hockey if we can be competitive. Because really.
03 Western Cup or Western Conference Finals.
Guy Boucher
finalist.
Brings in boring as shit hockey here.
He also brought it in Tampa and they went to
conference finals there.
Yep.
Right? So you bring in winning hockey in a hockey market, even if it's not entertaining, people will go.
That's Tall Can Sports, even if it wasn't entertaining. You fucking listened. And
thank you very much.
We'll see you on the next one.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.